This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, still have some time to go here on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We just wrapped up a fantastic conversation. I really loved that with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride out in Kansas City. Very, very realistic, logical, down to earth. And you know what? Makes you feel good. If you're a Bills fan, you're sitting there going, wait a minute. Okay, we got this guy who covers the Chiefs and knows. He was laying the goods and saying, look, he does not expect them to really be the Super Bowl contending team next year. But they do have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, so anything can happen. But he thinks this is more of a soft reset year for the Kansas City Chiefs. In the meantime, you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who, of course, didn't achieve their goals this year, did not wind up making the playoffs after a late season run. We thought thought they possibly could. Joe Burrow had fantastic numbers, MVP type of numbers. Didn't obviously get into that conversation because the team didn't get to the playoffs, but now they are faced with some really interesting questions this offseason. Our guy Joe Goodberry is going to join me right now on the Western Hotline. Always love hearing from Joe and his perspective on the Bengals. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. I just had a guy on from Kansas City, Pete Sweeney, covers the Chiefs, did a really good job. And I asked him, like, what life is like in Kansas City, you know, after losing the Super Bowl. And I know that the team you follow and cover was there a few years ago. We've been there many, many years ago and haven't quite gotten there. But even for a team, the Kansas City Chiefs, he said, that, you know, has won back-to-back Super Bowls, very, very disappointing, walking off the field and not achieving their goals. And I can imagine. How did you take in the game and what you thought about the Chiefs ultimately getting there and then obviously getting blown out the way they did?
I thought it was fantastic from a personal level, from a football fan perspective, you know, forgetting all of this, being trying to be objective for a moment and watching the Chiefs lose that and not able to achieve that three-peat. I don't like the dynasty when it goes for too long. You know, I like the Chiefs when they're 2018, 2019, 20. I'm like, yeah, this is great. They haven't won in a long time. They're finally getting over the hump. Mahomes is so great to watch. Kelsey's the man, you know, and then you fast forward 5 years from there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Please, Eagles, do your worst to them. And they did. And to be honest, from my perspective, the Eagles do a lot of things that I've been preaching about for a long time that I'd love to see the Bengals and other teams do. And so I was rooting actively for the Eagles to finish it off and put a stamp on, hey, look, it works. You can build this way.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Bengals and where they are in this lineage of the AFC, because I think going into next year, they're going to be still one of the more favored teams because of their talent, but that could change in a lot of ways. What are the biggest questions facing the Cincinnati Bengals in the 2025 offseason?
Yeah, they've got a lot of moving parts and a lot of moving pieces, and they have to make decisions. And I think, you know, the obvious ones are the T. Higgins extension, the Jamar Chase extension, the Trey Hendrickson extension. The Bengals want to extend all three of the players. The players publicly have said they all want to be there, and that's what I've heard behind the scenes as well. So just making it happen. If both sides want it to happen, the last hurdle is just making it happen at the end and agreeing to whatever those numbers are at the end, and then seeing how much you have left and what else you can do, because the defense was not good last year. They've dumped a lot of draft picks into the defensive side over the last 4 years, haven't gotten the results. The young players haven't been able to replace some of the veterans they've lost, whether that's Jesse Bates, Vaughn Bell, DJ Reader, and others. And they're left with, okay, can these guys step up? Can they be what we thought they were going to be when we drafted them? Or do we have to go out and spend money again on defensive free agents? I think it's a mix of both. I think there are some guys that can still regain some of the upside you believe they have. And I believe they're going to have to go spend some money on the defensive line, the trenches, and maybe a defensive back in free agency. and try and rebuild it that way. And then, of course, as we've been talking about for probably 8+ years, they have to figure out the guard position, and that's probably through free agency and the draft. So they've got a lot of money to spend, and they got to figure out how to spend it.
All right, let's take these a couple of individually. Let's go with T. Higgins first. I mean, how does this ultimately play out? I know that Joe Burrow has been, you know, very vocal about keeping him, as you would expect, and Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. We also know, and Joe, you know, this isn't a shot at the Bengals, but there's a reputation that people say that they just don't pay their players like a lot of teams around the league do. And yes, they have paid Burrow, and we'll see. So, you know, what winds up happening here? Does it get to, how contentious does it get?
So the real issue with the Bengals, and it is true, they when they say they don't pay them, what it really is they will not guarantee money past the first year. They just are fundamentally against it. So the agents, you know, that want big guarantees, they're not going to get it from Cincinnati. So you will hear that they won't spend money. And that is partially true, but the truth is that it's comes down to the guarantees. And his former agent, David Mulligetta, is known right now as one of the best agents in the league and gets the maximum guaranteed money. Well, T fired him and went with Ja'Marr Chase's agent. And the reasons behind the scenes is that because he said, I don't need the most guaranteed money. We should have gotten this deal done already if we weren't hung up on the guaranteed money. And let me tell you, that is music to the Bengals' ears. And that's why there's renewed hope that this deal will get done. Now, I think the big challenge right now, and you're going to hear these reports all up through the combine when everyone gets together and then to the first day of free agency, is that T. Higgins could get $28 million, T. Higgins could get $30 million, T. Higgins could get $33 million in free agency. And that is going to put a little bit of a dent in the negotiations, because I'm sure the Bengals would rather pay him $27, $28 million rather than that $32, $33 that gets floated out there. So how do you come to an agreement if T's willing to say, I don't need the guarantees every year, I will bet on myself, I want to stay with this trio on offense? Well, then I think the number probably is 28 or so. Here's the thing. The Bengals could. So if those numbers are true, 30 to 32, and he should go take and get his maximum, which I wouldn't blame him for at all. Every player should go maximize what they can get out there. The Bengals can tag him for the second straight year, and it would only be $26.2 million against the cap. So that's the leverage play for Cincinnati. They say, hey, listen, we know you could go get that. We know we're offering you 28, which is less than what these other teams are doing or potentially could do if you hit free agency. We will tag you if we have to. So do you want the $26.2 million one-year tag, or do you want to take this $35 million signing bonus? Because the Bengals will give big signing bonuses and make your $26 million plus, you know, your $35 million in signing bonus. You'll make more this year if you sign the contract, have a 3- or 4-year deal in Cincinnati. Yes, it won't be per year as much as you can get out there, but you'll make more now. Or we can just tag you and you make even less. And I think that's probably why it'll go back and forth right until the first day of free agency or whenever the deadline is that they have to tag him.
Ja'Marr Chase going into the fifth-year option. So his last year of his contract guaranteed close to $22 million. Now, you're talking about T. Higgins and that kind of money. Boy, how do you make it happen with both these guys? Because he would command more. He's a better player, but he's also a guy you don't want to lose either.
So the best part about this is that his cap hit would go down considerably if you extend him. It's very similar to Justin Jefferson, who was on his fifth-year option last year. It was like $21 million. His cap hit last year was just $8 million because you're going to give him a big signing bonus, and that'll be the upfront money, and you can push the cap hits to future years. The Bengals will likely follow this method as well. So you reduce his cap hit from $22 million down to $8 million, $9, maybe $10, whatever, however they want to distribute it. And that should give you enough pocket change to either throw that at, you know, you want to throw $10 million extra at T. Higgins or Trey Hendrickson when we get to that conversation. You know, it'd be an easy bump for him in his payday. So I think the framework was there. They got to 11:58 on the clock for signing Ja'Marr Chase last year. From what I understand, there were some communication issues at the end of, well, I thought this guarantee was going to be active completely, fully guaranteed, not a rolling guarantee, not an option bonus, not a roster bonus. And they got right to the end agreeing on every dollar, but when they would hit was a disagreement. Again, guaranteed money, big thorn for the Bengals always. And when it happens and how it happens and how much is practically guaranteed versus actually guaranteed. And they both decided just, all right, we're not going to talk about it. We'll do this next year. And Ja'Marr went out and had a triple crown year and probably made himself even more money. I think that deal gets done. Does that mean it happens before free agency or does it happen in the summer? I think either way it eventually happens.
Yeah, I'm not comparing the two players, how well they are at their position, but the same thing I've said about Greg Rousseau here, which is of all the guys, there's like five guys coming up on the final year of their deal in Buffalo, and actually Greg Rousseau might be the easiest to get done because the fifth-year option, actually you're under contract and allows you to extend out and lower the cap. So in a weird way, even though he's already scheduled for maybe a number you're not totally comfortable with, you can actually use that to your advantage to work it where the other guys aren't even signed yet. So it's a good point on that. Let's go to Trey Hendrickson. What's his situation and where does it go?
So Trey Hendrickson has been extended once already. He signed his original four-year deal in 2021. He's been tremendous. He's been their best free agent signing of all time. Four straight Pro Bowls, an All-Pro, first-team All-Pro this year, and a finalist. He came in second for Defensive Player of the Year. He's great. This is his age 29 season, so he's going into age 30 season in the last year of his deal. Now, again, he held out last year sort of in-house, however you want to call it. He wanted to redo his deal last year, but it would have been 2 years in a row, and you have to wait one calendar year in order to increase the money going to him, so it never happened. He requested a trade, but had to rescind it because I don't think he realized that, and his agency didn't realize that you had to wait one full calendar year. Anyway, he wants a new deal, and they want to pay him, and they're supposed to be meeting this week, so hopefully we hear some news very shortly. They need to decide, and I think both sides need to decide, how much more is that now for your age 30, 31, 32, maybe it's a 3-year extension, right? Those numbers tend to fall off a little bit. He's still going to be very, very good if he follows the same trend that everyone does. I've looked at the data and it goes, okay, he'll still be pretty good for the next 2 years at least. And then if you have an out, if he falls off a cliff for the third year, but it really comes down to how much does he want? He's scheduled to count against the cap for over $21 million, but his cash that they're paying him is only $16 million this year. So you could really bump that up to $26-27 million. It'd be a nice raise for him, but you don't have to make him a top 3, 4, or 5 paid defensive end because it's a huge raise for him. You have the leverage to keep him for 1 year and make him play under that contract. I don't think the Bengals want to do that. I think the big reason why they started so funky this past year is they thought all these guys would just be happy with their 1 year deals and not being satisfied with their contract and not having the longevity and stability. Well, they get to camp and everyone's mad at each other, and it really put a damper on the start of their season. So I think they want to finish it off. They want to reward their good players, and they want to do it early enough so they know how much money they have for external free agents.
And then finally, Joe, what about Jermaine Pratt and his situation, linebacker who has reportedly requested a trade?
Yeah, Pratt, you know, I want to give him his flowers because he's been one of their most clutch players. He's been one of their best performers in crucial situations. We called him Playoff Pratt. You can look up Pratt on my name on Twitter, and he is always the one making the critical play when they need it. There will be so many times like, man, this defense needs a play right now, and it is Jermaine Pratt. And the playoff game that they won against the Raiders in 2021, the first time in 30 years, he intercepts Derek Carr right at the end of the game and steals that one. He had a great Super Bowl performance. He's come up with big plays against the Steelers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, all these big games you need him to have. So while I want to give him all that, his stiffness, his age, he's only 28, but the way he's declined in the last few years since being paid in 2022 – has been drastic. He went from a guy that was a short tackler with a great tackle radius, could really have that grip strength, bring guys down with one hand, to a guy that is whiffing completely because his agility is completely sapped from him over the last couple of years. Now, his contract, his cash is $5.6 million salary this year. The Bengals can save that if they cut him. They will get that back if they trade him. If somebody out there wants him and wants to throw a 6th or 7th round pick at them and take on that salary, the Bengals will take it. They probably approached Pratt and said, hey, we're going to release you. You know, your play has just declined too much at this point. And the only thing he could do to save his $5.6 million salary was say, well, then let me see if there's a trade out there to preserve this, because I don't believe he would get that much in free agency. So I think that's the situation there. They're going to look and see if they can get anything. But there's a bunch of guys they have that they can get upwards of, on a conservative level, sale, $85 million in cap space by cutting Jermaine Pratt. Sheldon Rankins did nothing for them. They signed last year. Sam Hubbard's been hurt 2 years in a row now, and his play has declined. Alex Kappa, a guard, again, his play is declining. They should, before they even sign these guys and do extensions, be sitting around $85 million on day one of free agency.
Bengals on the Brain with Joe Goodberry. Great stuff. Always love catching up to with you. Thank you so much for this. I know you're a busy man, so really appreciate it. And I'm sure we're going to do it again sometime in this offseason. The Bills and the Bengals do play in 2025, so I'm sure we'll be catching up. Thanks a lot, buddy. People can follow Joe at Joe Goodberry on Twitter. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sal.
You got it. Joe Goodberry does a really good job talking about covering the Bengals. Local guy, too. Lives in Western New York. Bengals are his team. His brother's a big Bills fan. He's talked about that. Pretty interesting. Always love catching up with Joe. Got to take a time out here. We'll come back. Got to touch on this hockey from last night and into tonight as well.